I'd like to do something a little bit different today in this study. In this study, I'll probably take at least 2, if not 3 weeks. But I want to study the word that's normally translated election or chosen or elect. The subject of the study is the Greek word eklektos, which when translated is chosen or elect in most of our English versions. It's used in 6 different contexts. Now, the reason I want to study this is because I think it's going to help you in the future to understand a lot more about Scripture and about this concept, and you'll be able to, on your own, after this, make some determinations that you maybe couldn't do before because it seemed a little bit out of your league, I guess, but it's not. So I want to encourage you to hang in there till the end of it. Sorry about my voice. I had a little sinus problems, but there are 6 different contexts that the word election or chosen shows up in. First, of the 12 disciples, then of the nation of Israel, then of the believers within the nation of Israel. Christ is even called elect. The church is called elect in Christ. And Paul himself is a chosen or elected vessel. I want to point out a few scriptures for each one of those. Going to Luke 6:13 first, if I can get there quickly enough, this will go a little bit faster. Luke 6:13. A lot of these scriptures, so I couldn't really very well just write them all down. And I'm being particularly slow in finding Luke 6:13. But remember again, this is the 12 disciples' election that we're talking about. Luke 6:13, when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. So chose there is the word that we're looking at. John 6:70. Is another place, and that's a pretty long chapter, but almost at the very end. Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" John 13:18, another place. I think you get the idea pretty quick. I won't have to go through all these scriptures. John 13:18. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. 15:16. Another place in John. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So that's the last one in John that I'm going to share. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2 has information about the choosing of the 12 disciples. Acts 1:2. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 24 in that same chapter, and they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen." They're looking to replace Judas at that point. Verse 25, write down a little bit, to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. So this is about the replacement of Judas, him having been chosen, actually, which is something we'll come back to a little bit later. The nation of Israel is chosen. In Acts 13:17, this is the second category. Acts 13:17. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted hand, or arm rather, he led them out from it. So, Romans 9:11, another place about Israel's being chosen. 9:11 says, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. Romans 11:28. These are pivotal, critical chapters for what we're looking at. We'll make the connection a little bit later. 11:28 says, Romans 11:28, from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. This is about them being chosen, and there is a connection between the word that is translated beloved. Let's see. Romans 11:28. Yeah. From the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved. So choice and beloved, we're going to see connection between in a while. I don't know exactly how far out that'll be. But the nation of Israel is also chosen. I could cite Isaiah 45:4 and Deuteronomy 7:7, also from the Old Testament, where they are said to have been chosen as a nation. Then believers are chosen within the nation of Israel. Romans 11:5-7. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. And then, as I said in verse 7, what then, what Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. And then we move on to the fourth category of election or chosenness, and the Lord Jesus is said to be chosen. Luke 9:35. I'm reading all these out because I know that a lot of you listen to these audio messages in your car or on your phone. You don't have the Bible sitting there in front of you, so I'm gonna do the work of reading them to you. Luke 9:35. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. And then Luke 23, almost at the end of the book, 23 and verse 35. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. So even the unbelievers recognize the fact that Jesus is chosen. Let's see. Isaiah 42:1 is a really good place to go. That's the suffering servant song. And then 1 Peter 2:4 and 2:6. All right, 1 Peter 2:4 and 2:6. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is chosen and precious in the sight of God. Same thing is repeated over again in verse 6, for this is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. So there you have it. Jesus Christ himself is also said to be chosen. And then we have a long list of the church category as chosen in Christ. Let's see, here in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Chosen is actually in verse 1, but there's some dispute about that. So it's actually in verse 1 in the New American Standard. Some people put it in verse 2. Just a matter of punctuation. And then 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There are more in 1 Peter, chapter 5 and 13. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. And then 2 Peter has some information about this. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Revelation 17 has the church as being chosen. Revelation 17:14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. We're going to go back into the earlier New Testament, Romans 8:33. I was already close to 1 Peter, so I just went there. Normally, I'd take these in the order in which they show up in the scriptures. That just makes it easier for people, but not in this case. Romans 8:33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Ephesians 1:4, of course. Great passage on election. First chapter of Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. I'm going to skip Colossians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, 2 Timothy 2:10, Titus 1:1. There's a bunch more, but that you got the idea. The church is also chosen. These are six different contexts that have adjectival uses, while the parenthetical are nouns. Number six is of Paul. Acts 9:15, of course you knew we would be going there. That's the account of his blinding and his conversion in all the, of course, different circumstances surrounding that. Acts 9:15. Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to him, "Go." He's not even talking to Paul here. "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel." So Ananias is supposed to go and relay that message. You see, similar idea of Paul being chosen in Acts 22:14. Again, I'm sorry for my voice and all the other things. I had a little sinus issues, but I'll live. Acts 22:14. "And he said, 'The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth.'" Did I read the right place? I didn't. Oh, well. Anyhow, 1 Corinthians 9 is another place, 9:1, and then 9:15. I'm sure I got those right, at least. 1 Corinthians 9:1, on top of having a sinus problem, I'm not breathing really very well, all stuffed up and all that stuff, so... Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:1, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship." pardon me. And then 9:15, "But I have used none of these things. I am not writing these things so that it will be done in my case. For it would be better for me to die." I'm telling you what, I messed both of those up. So anyhow, Paul talks about having been chosen way later than the other ones are. And he is... still an apostle chosen by God. Even if I didn't get the scriptures written down right here, it's probably 2 Corinthians. Let me look real quick. Don't want you to think I'm pulling the wool over your eyes or something like that. Sure what I messed up there. So anyhow, we've gone about 18 minutes up to this point, and we haven't even begun. So let me tell you about the primary idea of eklektos, or choose, or chosen. And the idea in all those scriptures, that was another reason why I wanted to read all of them. I didn't point them out at the time, because it takes a long time to go through a list, but the primary idea is to bestow an office. The main idea is being that there is a task given to perform and a responsibility conferred upon the one that's chosen. This makes it close to our own modern day idea of election in a taking an office, political office, and also vocation. God bestows an office and also gives a name or a calling to it. Apostle, for example. Now, it's possible for you to fail in the task that you have been appointed to. It's also possible to refuse to live up to that calling. Yet one cannot uncall, so to speak, oneself. And so it's not possible to cancel God's choice. So we're going to look in more detail starting next week at some of the callings we have listed, and you'll see some of these things that we've introduced, and we'll broaden them and explain a little bit more further. So, until we see each other again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.